Hello, hello. This is Katavani. Welcome back to another episode of Ramayana, the last episode of Ayodhya Kanda, episode 28, Maharishi Atri and Devi Anasuya. Thank you for listening. In the last episode, we saw Bharata's return to Ayodhya with Rama's paduka, sandals. Bharata ruled the kingdom as Rama's trustee on behalf of Rama from Nandigram, with Shatrughna's help and the guidance of Ayodhya's esteemed counselors and gurus, teachers. Meanwhile, in Chitrakuta, after the extensive entourage from Ayodhya left, Rama was still haunted by the memories of his visitors. He could not shake the grief of their meeting and their parting, the emaciated appearances of his widowed mothers and grieving brothers followed him around the hermitage. The blissful Chitrakuta was no longer peaceful. The encampment of the army and the people of Ayodhya, as well as the damages inadvertently caused by the large animals along the trail to the hermitage, distressed Rama. The ascetics of Chitrakuta also were leaving the neighborhood. It seemed like Rama's presence and protection had attracted undesired warriors and miscreants to the area, who picked on the hapless, unarmed ascetics, interrupting their sacrifices, stealing their supplies, interfering with their rituals and everyday routines. Despite Rama's reassurances to protect them and their rituals, the ascetics decided to leave Chitrakuta, wishing to avoid a carnage and battle on their account, preferring the safety and quiet of a different place. They advised Rama to leave with them, fearing for Sita's safety and preferring Rama's virtuous company. Soon after the ascetics departed, Rama too decided it was time to find a new place to continue their austere living. Chitrakuta Mountains and their own hermitage that had been quite appealing earlier seemed desolate in the midst of the other empty hermitages and mournful memories. Looking forward to a change of scenery, Rama, Lakshmana and Sita set out, walking along the river Mandakini. They stopped by the ancient hermitage of the very old and revered Maharishi Atri and his illustrious wife Anasuya, who lived in the beautiful Chitrakuta Mountains as well on the southern side, close to the river Mandakini. Rama prostrated, falling at the feet of Maharishi Atri. This ancient sage treated Rama as his own son. He greeted Lakshmana and Sita with kind words and called out to his wife Anasuya to inform her about their esteemed guests and requested her to receive the virtuous Sita. Sage Atri introduced his legendary wife to Rama, Sita and Lakshmana thus. One time, this region and its people were devastated by drought and famine that followed. Anasuya performed severe tapas, single-minded meditation and austerities, carried out religious rituals and practiced severe asceticism and sacrifices to bring relief to the people. By the powers of her penances, she brought Ganga Ma, the river Ganga, here, removing all the obstacles along the way, enriching the entire area as you see it now, with abundance of fruits, roots and trees. This illustrious Anasuya is well known and adored. She is free from envy, anger, and worthy of worship. She is like a mother to you, Rama. Let Sita approach her for her own benefit. Anasuya, the name, literally means without jealousy. Rama encouraged Sita to go to Devi Anasuya. Devi Anasuya, who was considerably ancient with withered skin and gray hair, was trembling involuntarily due to her advanced years. Despite the signs of age, she still remained graceful with a glow about her. Sita gently introduced herself, went around Devi Anasuya to show her respect before bowing to her. Sita was delighted to be in this Devi's presence. A quick introduction to Maharishi Atri and Devi Anasuya here. Atri Maharishi is a Manasputra, mind-born son of Brahma, and is a revered Saptarishi, one of the seven rishis of this Manvantara, or era of Manu. The hymns in the fifth mandala, or part of Rigveda, the oldest of the Vedas, are credited to this sage. Descendants of this esteemed sage belong to the Atreya Gotra. The legend is that Brahma, the god of creation, created his 10 Manasputra sons, illustrious rishis of ancient times, to spread the knowledge, the Vedas, that he revealed to them across generations of good people. These rishis, sages, marry the descendants of Lord Brahma's other mind-born children, Swayambhuva Manu and his wife Shatarupa. Manu's daughter Devahuti married sage Kardama, and they had 9 daughters and 1 son. Arundhati and Anasuya are the more famous of Devahuti's daughters, who married sage Vasishta and sage Atri respectively. Kapila Maharshi, Devahuti's son, proposed the ancient Sankhya philosophy, which lays the foundation for many concepts in the Hindu religion. Concepts of karma, the 3 gunas, dualistic concepts of Purusha and Prakriti, etc. Sage Marichi, another Saptarishi, mind-born son of Lord Brahma, the god of creation, married Kala, another of the 9 daughters of sage Kardama and Devahuti. Their son is the illustrious sage Kashyapa. Kashyapa Maharishi is also a Prajapati. Blessed with the power of creation, he inherited from his father Marichi. In an earlier episode, we saw the children of Kashyapa Maharishi were Devas, Asuras, Maruts and others. Ishvaku, the founder of the Solar dynasty, is the grandson of Maharishi Kashyapa. Prince Rama belongs to this illustrious Ikshvaku dynasty. Atri Maharishi, the mind-born son of Lord Brahma, married Anasuya, one of the 9 daughters of Devahuti and sage Kardama. Anasuya is known for her devotion to her husband, and she supported his asceticism in every way, and was known for her own discipline and austerities as well. Devi Anasuya desired Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva to be born as her son. It is believed their first son, who became Rishi Dattatreya, was born with all the attributes of the gods Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Devi Anasuya and Maharishi Atri were also the parents of Maharishi Dhruvasa, an ancient sage who provoked the churning of the ocean Samudramandan, after he angrily cursed Lord Indra and the Devas for disrespecting him. Maharishi Atri and Anasuya's third son Soma, also known as Chandra, was the progenitor of the Lunar dynasty, whose well-known descendants are King Dushyanta, Emperor Bharata, King Shantanu, his son Bhishma, and the 5 Pandavas and 100 Kauravas. This ancient couple, Atri and Devi Anasuya, also had a daughter, Shubhatreyi. The legend is that once Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva arrived at the ashram of Atri and Anasuya disguised as Brahmanas, priests seeking Nirvana Bhiksha, alms served where the giver is unclothed. It is a sin to refuse alms to Brahmanas that seek it. Sage Narada, son of Lord Brahma, who put the gods to this task, wanted to test and highlight Devi Anasuya's devotion to her husband and hence devised this plot to put her in a tough spot. Undaunted, Devi Anasuya surrendered to her husband Atri's spiritual powers and, keeping his form in her mind, sprinkled the visitors with water used for washing Maharishi Atri's feet. The 3 Brahmanas, the 3 gods in disguise at her door, were transformed into babies. Anasuya Devi offered them Nirvana Bhiksha, fed them and played with them. When her husband arrived after completing his morning prayers, she told him what had transpired. Maharishi Atri, a seer, knew these were the lords Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva come to fulfill Anasuya's desire to be their mother. He gently touched them, chanting a mantra, and the babies became one child with the attributes of all 3 gods. This child, Dattatreya, grew up in their hermitage as their own son and became a traveling monk, living a simple life, showing kindness to all, people and animals, sharing his knowledge about the meaning of life and living without suffering. This sage is symbolically represented and worshipped with 3 heads and 6 hands and 2 feet. There are many stories that celebrate Anusuya Devi and how she used her spiritual powers for others. Maharishi Valmiki in Ramayana narrates that this Devi Anusuya, renowned for her devotion to her husband, her discipline and asceticism, who nurtured the lords Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva as babies, now welcomed Sita with kindness. She said to Sita, "You are indeed fortunate. Sita, you accompanied your husband here and you are performing your duties with him, devoted wholly to him. One who is devoted to one's husband, be it in a city or forest, whether he is good or evil, will attain immense prosperity. The wicked with unrestrained minds do not know the difference between vice and virtue. On reflection, I have realized following one's husband, upholding traditions and carrying out your duties with discipline are virtuous and will bring renown. Your husband is your guru, teacher, and your one true friend." It is interesting that both Sage Atri and Devi Anusuya express their devotion and respect for each other and the path to lasting marital bliss right away to Rama and Sita. Anusuya advised Sita about duties more common in those times, the woman serving and being devoted to her husband. We could imagine that similarly, Sage Atri advised Rama to protect, cherish, be faithful to, and provide for Sita. And how fortunate Rama was to be married to a virtuous, like-minded woman who renounced all the comforts to accompany Rama into the desolate forest. In these times too, we know, in addition to love, mutual respect, kindness, and mutual service are foundational for a healthy and long-lasting relationship. Sita responded to Devi Anusuya's kind advice. "Devi, following one's husband, even if he is devoid of character, is a woman's duty. My husband is compassionate, self-restrained, righteous, and worthy of worship for all his virtues. He is affectionate like a father and mother to me. Rama treats all his mothers with respect as his birth mother. He treats all the women and the elders in the palace with respect, regardless of their station and his. My mother and mother-in-law have advised me about my duties, and hearing your words reminds me of their advice that for a wife, the only penance prescribed in the scriptures is service to her husband." Devi Anusuya was delighted by Sita's words honoring her husband, her mothers, as well as her. She kissed Sita affectionately and granted her a boon, anything she sought for her enjoyment. Devi Anusuya could grant boons by the spiritual powers accumulated in her by decades of penance and righteous living. Sita quietly responded, "Mother, you have already given me boons." Devi Anusuya, wishing to make Sita's words true, gifted her a divine flower garland that would never fail, as well as ornaments, clothes, fragrance, and lotion cream for her body. Gifts that would enhance Sita's beauty all the time. She told Sita that by wearing these always, she would enhance Rama's glory, just as Goddess Lakshmi enhanced Lord Vishnu's. Sita accepted these gifts given with love and sat next to the Devi with reverence. Devi Anusuya then asked Sita to narrate the story of how she met and wed Rama. Sita narrated the entire story, starting with how she was found as a baby on the field when her father Janaka plowed the land for a sacrifice, and how, when she reached marriageable age, her father's anxiety grew about finding a worthy husband for her. She talked about the Swayamvara he set up with the challenge of lifting and stringing the mighty Shiva bow that God Varuna had gifted her father, King Janaka. Sita spoke about the many failed attempts by kings near and far who could not even move the mighty bow. She delightedly talked about Sage Vishwamitra arriving in Mithila with Rama and Lakshmana, sons of King Dasharatha, to participate in a sacrificial ritual her father was performing. She spoke proudly about Rama not only lifting the bow, but stringing it effortlessly and breaking the mighty bow. Sita mentioned how King Janaka sent word to Rama's father, King Dasharatha, to seek his approval before the wedding. She shared the details about the wedding in the presence of the old King Dasharatha and his entourage, and her father, King Janaka, giving her hand in marriage to Rama, pledging that she would be Rama's unwavering partner in all his righteous actions. Devi Anasuya was delighted to hear the story of Rama and Sita's wedding in such sweet detail from Sita. The day had passed delightfully in the hermitage. It was already evening, and Anasuya Devi asked Sita to wear the clothes, ornaments, and perfume she had gifted, as well as the garland before returning to Rama. Sita happily agreed and wore the divine garments, ornaments, garlands, and applied the fragrance and cream. Devi Anasuya was immensely happy to see Sita thus adorned and blessed her wholeheartedly. Sita returned to Rama adorned like a Devi. Rama rejoiced to see Sita, her beauty enhanced thus. After listening to Sita, he appreciated the great honor Sita had received with love from the illustrious Devi Anasuya. Their hearts full, they accepted the old couple's generous hospitality and spent the night in this hermitage of Sage Atri and Devi Anasuya. The next morning, when they took leave after completing their morning prayers, Maharishi Atri guided Rama to the path to cross over to Dandaka Aranya, without being troubled by cannibalistic carnivorous Rakshasas. Rama, Lakshmana, and Sita took leave of the gentle ascetics, grateful for their attention, blessings, and Sita's incomparable gifts. Thus ends Ayodhya Khanda, the second and longest book of Ramayana. Maharishi Valmiki, in composing Ramayana, wanted to tell the story of Rama, a man, a prince who was able to live his life ideally, upholding satya and dharma, truth and righteous duty, despite many challenges. Valmiki Muni adds color by including ancient stories as well as life stories of illustrious ascetics to show us the many ways good people live honorably amidst evil in the ancient times as well. In narrating this story, Maharishi Valmiki shows how Rama was respected by all whom he met, including the enlightened and illustrious ascetics, seers who right away recognized Rama's virtues and honored him accordingly. In the Maharishi's telling, we see Rama's attachment to his principles, despite strong temptations to drop his attachment in return for material gains, power, status that would come with being the rightful king. Rama dismissed the hardships he and Sita would have to endure in the path of truth. In fact, Rama saw no other path to keeping his promises as well as his duty to uphold his father's pledge to Kaikeyi. Even though his father was dead, Queen Kaikeyi repented her actions and Prince Bharata didn't want the kingdom. Rama's actions and decisions were guided only by truth and duty, satya and dharma. Ayodhya Khanda, this canto of Ramayana, started with the announcement of Rama's coronation. Kaikeyi wanted the kingdom for her own son Bharata. Kausalya was upset that her son Rama was not only lost his rightful inheritance, but was also banished to the forest. Dasharatha, truthful till the end, could not bear the separation from Rama, could not find any motivation to perform his duties without his beloved son by his side, and died from putrashok. Bharata, Lakshmana, and Shatrughna, born in the illustrious Ikshvaku dynasty and well-versed in scriptures, principles of satya and dharma, were still enraged by King Dasharatha and Queen Kaikeyi's actions against Rama. Lakshmana, seethed with anger, ready to decimate all that harmed Rama's interests. Shatrughna was ready to kill Mantra, the old maid who poisoned Kaikeyi's mind. Bharata cursed his mother, Queen Kaikeyi, and cut off his relationship with her. Rama and Sita, with no worldly attachments to wealth, power, or status, remained blissful. Rama calmed his brothers as well as the crowds from Ayodhya, patiently showing them the right way. The wise sage Valmiki shows us in this book, Ayodhya Kanda, how Rama's exemplary actions not only endeared him to everyone, but uplifted other characters who started out expressing desires, disappointment, anger, and grief. By his actions and words, Rama elevated them to follow the truthful path and focus on their duties. By following in Rama's footsteps, relinquishing the throne and palace comforts, and by following Rama's advice to discharge their duties as sacrifices and offerings, his brothers too became worthy of respect and adoration. The citizens and armies of Kosala peacefully accepted Bharata's rule without conflict. Bharata not only redeemed his reputation, but his renunciations elevated his stature and legacy as well. Lakshmana and Shatrughna, sons of the wise Queen Sumitra, faithfully served their beloved older brothers without any selfish thoughts. To this day, where Rama and Sita are celebrated, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna are honored as well. In the next episode, we begin the third book of Ramayana, Aranyakanda, the Canto of the Forest, Aranya. The Dandaka Forest, south of Chitrakuta Mountains, is in present-day states of Chhattisgarh and Odisha. It is still populated by indigenous tribes who depend on the forest for their everyday basic needs. In the ancient times of Rama, in addition to the indigenous tribes, it was populated by ascetics, enlightened seers, their disciples and followers, who lived in simple hermitages. Wild animals and devious, fantastical humanoid beings of immense strength and power also roam these forests. We will join Rama, Sita and Lakshmana as they travel through the dense Dandakaranya, looking for a suitable place to call home. Until then, Ram Ram.